For most of us, before we become parents, we already have a pretty good idea of how we want to show up as a parent. So whether we will be going at it the same way that our parents did or go doing something completely different, we have a good idea of the parental style that we want to use. But what happens if your child doesn't respond well to the parenting style that you had in mind? This is what we're going to talk about today. For those who don't know me, my name is Danielle C. Baker. I am the founder and CEO of Being Connected. I'm also a registered early childhood educator with over 20 years of experience in the field. I do help parents and educators navigate the realities of what it is to raise a child and help them throughout their development. But don't get it wrong, when you're working with me, we're putting the child's needs first. So you're gonna have to put the ego and the pride aside, and let's get to it. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you are listening or watching from. And of course, with season two, this episode is brought to you by the Self-Esteem Doctor Online Academy with the amazing Dr. Simone Alicia. There's a wealth of resources there to help your child with self-esteem, confidence, and so much more. So I will add the link to the description and the comments for you to have a look at it. It is absolutely amazing. I love the work that they do. And so we're going to jump right in. I decided to call this episode the Parenting Palette because it's really something that as I'm working with parents, kind of started picturing, visualizing. I'm a very visual person. And when we were talking about parenting styles, we are often just stuck on that one. There's a good one, there's a bad one, there's a so-so one, and we're not too sure how to take it. And we believe that when we're opting for a specific parenting style, that that's the one that we have to stick to. And it's a lot more complex than that. We have to understand that there is no cookie cutter way of doing things when it comes to raising children, and that every child is different. Every child will respond to parenting styles differently, or even the same child will respond differently as they grow older, as they develop more skills. So it's not just a one parenting style type of approach that we need to take. And this is why I kind of came up with this parenting palette, because if you look at the difference between a painting that where the artist created, they mix their own colors to create the perfect colors, the perfect hues, that versus a paint by number painting, where this you can't go between lines, you have the actual color, and there's no depth to it. There's no dimension to it. There's no life to it, really. It's just two-dimensional. And this is what happens with parenting styles. You're going to have to kind of be get creative and mix and match and find the balance between the parenting styles so that you show up better for your child and that you're preparing your child for what life will actually be for them. And that leads me right into what your role as a parent is before I start introducing the parenting styles and what to do with that and what to look forward to. One of the main jobs that you have as a parent is to prepare your children for adulthood. You're there to support them throughout their development from infancy to adulthood. That's what a parent is. That's what a parent does, right? So this means that you're going to have to set appropriate limits with your child so that you can teach them how to set boundaries for when they're older. You're gonna have to watch your child fail. The only way that they can learn life lessons, the only way that they can develop the skills for decision making, for critical thinking, to think for themselves, to get creative, to become their own person, they are unfortunately gonna have to go through trials and errors. And you're gonna have to let that happen, because if you stop that and you do things for them in the quest for protecting them and giving them an easier life, you're actually creating challenges for them later on, because they will not be ready for what life is going to throw at them. So you have to set those limits. You have to kind of let them try and fail sometimes, just be there to support them afterwards. And you're going to have to let them learn that or feel the consequences of their actions. That is also a learning process. If you are always behind them, cleaning up after them, covering up for them, bailing them out, they're not going to know what it's like, the consequences of their actions are, and the impact that has on others, not just themselves, but others. So that's part of your role as a parent, is to make sure that you're creating, you are raising a well-balanced, healthy human being that is ready for everything that comes. The children will eventually tell you that they don't like you, that they're going to be mad at you for setting these boundaries and letting them fail, but learn from them or suffer the consequences from their decisions. But that's basically your role as a parent. And there's a social worker named Hannah Mulhoville, and I'm sure I'm not pronouncing her name properly. I apologize for that. But she says that, a parent is the best person in the world for a child to be mad at or not to like, because the parent is the one person that is not going to desert them. They're still going to love them, even if they're mad at them, that they're going to yell and shout at them saying that they don't like them. I hate you, all of that. You're still going to love them. That's what unconditional love is for your child. So the parent is the best person in the world for a child to not like and be mad at for a little bit, because you're there for them. They're not going to be judged. Well, you might judge them a little bit, but on the side, you're still going to show up for them. And they need that. They need that confidence. They need that reassurance that you have their back no matter what, as they're learning. It's different when they're older, but as they're learning the process, there's going to be some friction once in a while. So just remember that in terms of parenting, you are supporting your child while they're making mistakes, right? You cannot do it for them. They will not learn if you do everything for them, if you make it easier on them. It doesn't mean that you have to let them suffer. I'm just saying that sometimes they're just gonna mess up, and that's okay. You're just there to pick them up and show them that it's okay to mess up sometimes. We mess up sometimes, so we need to prepare them for that. We need to encourage them to take on age-appropriate responsibilities. We tend to baby our children quite a lot. They're capable of so much more than what we think they are, and that also kind of creates issues later on because we think they're too young. So I actually have a list of age-appropriate chores. Chores at home are a very important part of a child's development. It's not exploitation. It's not abuse. It's really, these are the ways to help children learn just general life coping skills, like things that they're going to have to do on their own, but also to build their confidence to start developing skills that they need later on. So I will leave a link below or in the descriptions with it's a list of age-appropriate chores from the age of two, when they're toddlers, right up until high school. And you will be surprised at how much they can do. And it's really kind of eye-opening to do. So have a look at that as well, and get them to work. Again, don't exploit them, but get them to work. And don't forget that you're going to have to show them how to do it. Don't expect them to know how to do it. They won't know at first, so you're going to have to be there with them and show them and encourage them until they can do it by themselves and build their confidence. So, take on age-appropriate responsibilities. That you're going to have to teach them how to think for themselves. So as they're learning, instead of just giving them the answers right away giving them doing everything for them, to ask them, what do you think we should do? What do you think will happen if we do this? What do you think will happen if we do that? Which one of those two is the best scenario for us right now? You're getting that muscle working of critical thinking for yourself, and making decisions accordingly. And you're going to have to let them solve their own problems. Again, I'm not saying that we have to let them suffer, but there's sometimes that you are going to have to step in. But again, sometimes you're going to have to let them solve their own problems and just be there to support them. If you're doing everything for them, if you're not letting them struggle a little bit to figure it out on their own. When I say struggle, I don't mean suffer. Okay, so we have to make that clear. If they're having a hard time tying their shoelaces, they need to learn. The only way they're going to learn is by doing it. If you keep doing it for them, they're not actually going to know what they're capable of if you're constantly doing things for them, and that give them a chance to work it through. They may actually find a solution that's way more creative than you would have thought of, and now they're making your life easier. So just keep that in mind. So I'm gonna go right in with the different parenting styles. Like I said, there's not a perfect parenting style. It depends on your situation. It depends on how you are in that moment, and it depends on where your child is in that moment as well. I'm gonna describe the four main ones and kind of dissect them a little bit. So there is the authoritarian parenting style, there's the authoritative parenting style, there's the permissive parenting style, and then there's the neglectful parenting style. So what you have to understand, it is absolutely natural. It's kind of like personality traits. There's not just the one. So you may use different parenting styles depending on your situation. So of course, if it's for safety reason, your child's life is in danger, you might automatically jump into the authoritarian mode, where it's just like, this is it, it's strict, it's a no, it's a hard no, no matter what. We're not negotiating this. You may become a little bit more permissive as your child grows older and shows that they're capable of doing things on their own, that they're getting more responsible, that you could trust them. You could be, as they grow older, you could, change the curfew and things like that. So they are more on the permissive. So this is where your palette, your parenting palette is. You start mixing your colors to get the right combination for your child. And it's going to be different from one child to the other. So if you have more than one child, you probably mentioned that in the comments. What worked for one is not going to work for the other. So that's why you need to find that balance and be flexible. We have to recognize our own limits as well. So there are things that we have issues with as well. So we have to take that into consideration. It's gonna show up in our parenting styles. And just remember that we're doing the best that we can, no matter how much we are struggling. Our intentions are always the best when it comes to our children. Right, so there's not one parent out there, no matter the situation, that is going to wake up and say, "How can I hurt my child today?" That is never the intention. So we're doing the best that we can with what we have at that moment, or how we can process thing at that moment. So just keep that in mind as well. So we're going to jump right in with the. We're going to start with the authoritative parenting style. That's often considered the ideal, so-called ideal style, because it's there's a combination of warmth and nurturing, but you're still making it clear that you're the parent. There is a line that you don't cross. So yes, we can talk about things. I'll take your opinions into consideration, but at the end of the day, I'm the one who's making the decision, not you. If you're speaking to your child, right? So that's what the authoritative parenting style kind of looks like. Children in that situation will know what to expect, and they know that there are consequences if they cross that line. So it kind of helps the child understand what their role is and what to expect. So they understand very well what's going to happen and what is expected of them. Parents will explain the reason why the rules are in place. So we'll say, okay, this is how it is because of this. That we'll explain. So the child is not just left not knowing why and just have to execute because the parents said so. There's a reason behind it. So it helps them to start thinking, and it helps them when it's time to making decisions to say, okay, wait a minute. This is the reason why. So, okay, that makes sense to me. So it's easier for them to follow the rules after that. The parents will explain, and they will also listen to the children's opinions, right? If the child wants to protest against the rule or what is expected of them, the parents will sit down and listen to their side. But at the end of the day, it's the parent that's still the decision maker. We'll see if that's what we go for. We may change some things, but if that doesn't work, no, it is what it is. So that's pretty much what is involved in the authoritative parenting style. Again, English is my second language. There's some words that I struggle with. This is one of them. So an example of that would be like at mealtime. The parents are going to model what they expect of the children when they're eating. So, sitting, no screen time, no devices on the table, how we're going to eat, it will get them involved in pre preparing the meals, like meal preps, again, age appropriately. They may even allow the child to choose a meal for the week. So once a week, they get to choose and make the menu for everybody. So it's going to help build their confidence. You're creating responsible children. They understand that their decisions affects everybody. There's some consequences to everybody. There's an impact. So they become more responsible. They build their confidence because now they know that you believe that they can do it. And they can see that they can do it. You're pushing the limit a little bit to show them, you got this. You got this. I trust you. So you're building that, and they're capable of making decisions by themselves a lot sooner. That's basically one of the reasons why a lot of people will believe that it's the most ideal parenting style. We're going to jump into the permissive parenting style now. This is where parents kind of pride themselves to be their children's besties. Right. So they're very warm, they're very nurturing, there's that open communication, they're actively involved in their children's well-being. They talk about everything. And sometimes this is where lines are crossed a little bit because they may have some conversations that shouldn't be happening between a child and an adult, depending on what that means to you. But the child will just feel comfortable speaking to their parents about everything. So that's why that parent will be more attuned with their child's mental situation, their well-being, how they are right now. So there's that comes to it. There are low expectations of very little consequences in that parenting style. So the child is kind of free to make their own decisions. But the one thing that And being free to make their own decisions will help with self-esteem. Like this is where the children they know they can make the right decisions. But what happens in these situations is a lot of the times the parents will take control of the child's environment. They will control the child's environment so that their children will not have to experience failures or rejection. So they're very controlling of who's around their children, what situations are happening, and what their children will be exposed to in terms of negative, on the negative side. So the children in this situation, when they're taken outside of that family environment where everything is controlled in the way that they can't do anything wrong and that they're the best at everything, when they're taken out of that environment, they can tend to have more impulsive behaviors. They can be more demanding, and they can lack some abilities to self-regulate, because right up until they're taken out of that environment, for example, going into daycare or going into school, now they're gonna have to wait their turn, which is something that they never had to do before. What they thought they were king at everything, or princesses and prince at everything, now they realize that there are kids around there that are better at them and certain at what they thought they were the best at. So there's some attacks to their self-esteem there, and they won't know how to process that. They were gonna have to share. They're gonna have to wait their turns. And there's sometimes the majority of the class will not want to do what they want to do, and then they won't know how to process that either. So there's some situations there. The other thing that can happen too with the permissive parenting style is that the parents will tend to bail their kids out of everything. If the child did something wrong, they will come to the rescue and come up with great reasons and excuses why their child behaved that way, and try to get them out of it. So you're creating children who do not deal with the consequences of their actions. They don't see the impact that they have on others. So that's what happens with the permissive parenting style. We have the authoritarian parenting style as well. That's the third one, where it's really strict rules, high standards, and some hardcore punishments to regulate the child's behavior. So I always think of that one as my mom was in the army. So that's military style. It's just, this is how it is. This is what you're expected, and you can't, that's what you have to do. So the expectations are very high, and they're not flexible. So it's all or nothing. Your report card has got to be all A's or A plus. If you got one B plus somewhere, you're suffering. You're going to suffer the consequences. The child may not know sometimes that what the rules are until they actually break that rule. So that when I say it's very rigid, very strict, and there's no communication, it is what it is, that it's because I said so and I'm the adult. Sometimes a child will do something that they didn't even know was a rule, that they broke a rule and now they're suffering the consequences, but there's no explanation to it, so they still don't know really what's going on. So that's what happens with the authoritarian parenting style. What happens in this case is that children will be really good at following instructions because they know they don't want to have to deal with what happens if you don't follow instructions. They're also very well, so-called well-behaved in public because, again, they know that they will pay for it later if they don't behave properly. But that can create a lot of fear and anxiety and nervousness because they're afraid that at any corner they could be doing something that they're not even aware of that could upset somebody. There's a lack of experience in decision making as well because the rules are so strict, and there's no room for communication about them. They're used to having decisions made for them. They've never actually had to make decisions, so when it's time for them to make a decision, they don't know how to process that, and it could be also harder for them to make those decisions later on in life. And it also, those are the kind of children as well. I'm not general, I'm kind of generalizing, but some most of the time when as they go into their teenage years, that's where they're aggressively rebellious because they were so strict that now that they have a little bit more freedom, they're just going to do everything that they were never allowed to do before, just as a rebellious act. They could also lack some social skills as well because it was so rigid. They've never learned flexibility. They never learned that for somebody else's needs, they may need to adjust because they've never experienced that in their life. The last one, the fourth one, is the neglectful parenting style, where now the parent is only taking on the role of fulfilling the basic needs of the child. So whatever the law requires, we gotta feed you, clothe you, put a roof over your shoulder, over your head. And pay very little attention to the child. This is where the neglectful parenting style is. There's not a lot of nurturing, not a lot of warmth. There's low expectations. There's no limits there. The child is left to fend for themselves. So I want to make a really clear note here from my experience of what I've seen in families and then what I've experienced personally as well is we tend to judge the neglectful parenting style quite a bit as a bad parent. You have to realize that in some situations, going towards the neglectful parenting style is not by choice. So it's not the parent's choice, it's just the circumstances. So I'll give you an example before you start judging me. A single parent that has to work overtime so that they can put food on the table and a roof over their children's heads. So they're not home often. They're not there to spend time with their children. They're not there to support them in their growth and making decisions and caring for them. So this is what I mean by it's not a choice. It's out of survival. We have to do this. This is what we have to do. A lot of the times, if there are more than one child, the older siblings usually care for the younger siblings, and they're the ones who take the parenting role. But just to make it clear that not everybody has a great situation or a great support system where they can take on the parenting style that they wish they could. They could just provide the bare minimum for their children at the moment, and that's what all they can do. They still care for their child. They beat themselves up for not being there for their children, but that's what it is right now at that moment. That's the best that they can do. So there's the children in that situation are quite often very resilient, and they're also very self-sufficient. Just out of necessity, out of survival, they had no choice. They had to develop those skills by themselves for pure survival. They may have trouble controlling their emotions because they haven't had anybody to kind of model what a healthy processing a healthy emotions in a healthy way is. And the coping strategies are not really there either because they don't have anybody to model. They just kind of, they're in survival mode, so they're very reactive because that's the part of the brain that's working at that point. They could have some difficulties with social relationships because a lot of the times when you're in the neglectful parenting style, you don't talk about what's happening at home. You keep to yourself, you keep within the family. And that's what it is. So social interactions, you could be a little ashamed of what's happening, so you don't interact with others as much. You seek out, as they grow older, they often seek out inappropriate role models. So because they're not getting the attention from their parents, they're going to seek it elsewhere. And it's a lot easier to seek negative attention than it is to seek positive attention. So they'll often seek out negative role models later on. As they get older. That's just, it's so funny because throughout this episode, there's this French expression that we say grosso modo, which just means like that's the bigger picture, like all in all, this is what it is, grosso modo. That's what those four parenting styles are. You have to realize that there really is no parenting style that guarantees to produce perfect children. Because there's no parenting style that proves that that's the best way to get outstanding adults later on. And then one example that can prove that is you can have a family with two or three children, the same parenting style, but the children, when they become adults, are completely different lifestyles. They have different outcomes. Right, some of them are doing well, some of them are not doing some well, so well, and some of them have completely disappeared. We don't know where they are. So this is the reason why I say there's no perfect parenting style. It depends on your child. You need to work those colors together. You mix in your own colors to create something that'll work for your children. So just as you're kind of testing out the different parenting styles to see what you need to adjust for your child or for your different children, you need to make sure again that you teach them to learn from their mistakes. So if they made a mistake, it's okay. All right, you got into a fight at school, it happens. Okay, let's work on this. What could we do to prevent that next time instead of just, going down on them and embarrassing them and belittling them. Another example of learning from their mistakes is if they know they have a paper due in the morning, but they stayed up all night playing video games. Well, there's going to be consequences to that. Learn from your mistake. Dealing with the consequences at school the next day is going to teach them how to manage their time more efficiently, and allow sometimes for some schoolwork. You're gonna have to teach them to deal with the consequences. So again, if they haven't done their homework, they played video games all night, there's a consequence of that. There's going to be low grades. We put a lot of importance and emphasis on good grades, so pa parents panic when their kids do not perform academically. But having them live through the consequences of having a low grade or having to go into detention, it's a good lesson to learn, right? Instead of bailing them out, I've seen parents who will say, okay, well, that's okay. We'll just call the school and say you're sick tomorrow, so you can do the homework tomorrow. So what are they learning? They're learning that they're going to stay at home all day playing video games all day and not doing the work still. So just remember, you need to teach them to deal with the consequences. You're there to support them. Of course, you don't want to put their lives at risk. I mean, sometimes you do have to step in, but just keep that in mind. Your job as a parent is to give your children the tools that they need to go through their difficulties. So it's not to control the situation, it's to give them the tools and resources. So again, you don't want them to suffer or struggle excessively, but you work through them. You kind of become a mentor, right? A voice of reason. You will adjust your parenting style as needed. Not all of the children are the same, and they won't respond to the parenting style the same. So you may actually cause more friction if you're rigid on your parenting style, but it's not working for your child. That's not what they need. Some children do need to be more structured and very clear rules. So the authoritarian style can be very helpful for those children who need that stability. They need to feel that control. And there's some students that some that have even personality disorders who go against authority. Then that's not the style you're going to want to adopt with them, right? So you really do need to find that balance, and that's going to be a little bit of trial and error for you as well. So that's why keeping that communication open with your child is also very good. You're going to have to set the right limits, right? What you want to do when you want to set the right limits is you allow them to roam free a little bit to discover their world and to figure out their stuff. But that freedom is limited. So picture it more like if you had sheep, right? You have a fence to tell the sheep that you're not going past that, but what you do inside the pasture is up to you. They can choose which flowers to eat. They can choose where to run to, as long as it's within that perimeter. So it's kind of the same with your children. You're going to set some invisible perimeters with your limitations, and you'll let them roam free in that environment, still watching them to make sure that they're not getting hurt. You can, as they get older, you can also get them involved in some of the rules and say, okay, well, you're a little older now. We think that, you know, you could go out alone with your friends and kind of figure out those limitations together. They really appreciate that, and they'll understand where you're coming from. It also helps to keep them accountable later on and say, hey, you helped with this. This was your suggestion. Now deal with it, or let's rework it. So there's a lot of problem-solving skills involved there as well. Before I end it, I just want to talk about co-parenting, because that is very difficult. It can be very difficult. We're not taught growing up that before you even start a family, this is a discussion that you should have with your partner. Of what your parenting style is, what you think your parenting style is, and what their parenting styles are, and figure out where your values are with that. What are your non-negotiables, and how can you work that? How can you work at raising an amazing human being, whether you stay together the entire time, or you know, how are you going to handle it if you do split up? It's not calling a failure in your partnership. But it, let's be real, more than half of the time, more than half of the couples end up separating. So let's have this conversation before we start having babies. What is that going to look like for us if we do separate? What is going to look for us if we stay together forever? So that way you're ready if it does happen when you're co-parenting. The one thing I'm going to leave you with that as parents, whether you are together, whether you are with the other parent or you're not, if one of the parents breaks the boundaries or breaks the limitations, don't ever, ever confront them in front of the children. When you're in front of the children, you 100% have their back, whether you're together or not. You will have a discussion later when the children are not there. But when the kids are there and one of the parents breaks the rule or disrespects the guidelines, you stay neutral. You 100%. They impose a rule that you don't agree with. You're okay with it when you're in front of the kids, but you will talk about it later on and come back to it. Not easy, but it is important to have that to show the children that first of all, not to give them ammunition to play one against the other, but to give them that sense of stability as well. Before I go, I just want to kind of leave you. I thought that was kind of interesting as the years go by, and now there's some of the kids that I used to work with. I'm not working with their kids. So that's a whole concept that I have to deal with, but it's kind of cool to see the progression in your relationship with once your children are grown. So the different parenting styles will affect your relationship with your children when they're adults, which is kind of interesting as well. So again, I'm generalizing. It doesn't mean that it's always like this, but usually, when you opt for the authoritarian parenting style of very strict, rigid, you know, military style, usually the children are not very close to their parents in the end. It was so strict that they just kind of, there was no time for nurturing, no warmth, no affection as much. So they didn't create that bond early on. So as they grow older, they're just kind of, you know, they'll call each other for holidays and birthdays and things like that and talk about little events, but that's it. You know, they're not going out of their way to spend time together. With the permissive parenting style, oftentimes what you see is the children come back for their parents to bail them out, to help them out with something, to fix their problems. So this is the kind of dynamic where you will see children moving back in to the parents' house after you know, they have financial issues, a breakup with their partner, or just they're in trouble all the time, and the parents have to bail them out somehow. But the authoritative parenting style, that what happens often is the children do have a good relationship with the parents. They will come to their parents for advice, but they will not expect them to fix their problems. So that parents become mentors. They really appreciate their parents' opinion. And if they're struggling with something, they may come and see them and say, okay, what do you think about this? The parents will say what they think, and then the child, well, the grown adult now, will kind of process that and choose whatever is the best option for their situation. So they may not go with what the parents are saying, but at least they got some kind of wisdom from it. Within the neglectful parenting style, that can vary a little bit. What I've noticed is you can have, because there was no attachment, or what will happen often is the children will either care for the parents like they were, like the parent was their child. They're kind of treating their parents the way that they wish their parents would have taken care of them when they were younger. So they may feel sorry, they may feel bad for their parent who's still struggling and care for them, or they will completely pull away and not want to have to do anything with their parent as well. So there's this kind of both ends there. But again, I'm generalizing, it's not always that way, but this is what you kind of see. So just to leave you with words of wisdom is that the best scenario for you to know that your parenting styles and your palette, your parenting palette, has worked at its best is the best case scenario. Your children will come to you for advice, but they won't expect you to fix their problems. That they've surpassed you in life achievements. You know, they've gone a little step further from yours. This is how you know that as a parent, you really did show up for your kids and you did the best that you could. And that you're getting the results that you wanted. So just keep that in mind. You want to create some amazing human beings, some amazing adults that will be balanced, that they can problem solve, that they are confident with their abilities and skills to take on the world and whatever life is throwing at them. So I'm going to leave you with that. If you have any questions, if you'd like some more information for your particular situation, you can contact me. I could do a Q&A, I could do a live on social media just to go over some things as well. Don't forget to have a look at the Self-Esteem Doctor Online Academy as well. There's some great resources there to help you navigate through all of this with your parenting styles. And so I'll leave you with that. Until then, stay safe. Stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.